Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I am here with Tom McCubbin, host emeritus, and Lizzie Steele. We want to wish everyone a happy new year.
Yes.
Happy New Year, Tom. Happy New Year, Lizzie.
Yep. Happy New Year to you guys. Everybody hold their calls. You're listening to a brand new episode. However, we are not here because we're off enjoying the new year.
That's it exactly. So, Tom, you wanted to talk more about the weather. I think that's so important for Florida, especially with all the new residents we have and new listeners we have. It's just so important to pay attention.
Yes, it is. And just listen to what's happening. And if you're worried about the weather, just stay alert to it and everything. But I'm just concerned about things that we're going to be doing in a new year. And it's actually a good time to do a number of things in the landscape, even though it might feel cool out there sometimes. It's good working weather.
You don't have to sweat as much.
Yeah. And one of them is do the pruning. We can start doing a lot of pruning at this time.
So what do you recommend? Because there are certain things that we don't want to prune.
Well, anything that's going to flower during the springtime, right. We don't want to prune. You wouldn't do major pruning on the tabebuias, for instance, and you wouldn't want to prune your
camellias and
azaleas. And gardenias. And as soon as the camellias have finished flowering, you can go ahead and prune them.
That's what I always tell my clients, that after they finish blooming, that's the time to cut them.
Yeah, and so we can do almost all the big common trees, the oak trees, the maple trees. Maple trees will flower early, so if you want to get them trimmed,
and it's a good time if some of them are deciduous, like the elm trees and like the crepe myrtles. Now, crepe myrtles can be cut, but we don't need to hack them back. If the limbs are crossing and touching, you don't want them to grow together.
You cut those limbs.
And then you have the oak trees when they're newly planted on the boulevard with new houses. Have you seen them where they curve down?
Oh, yeah.
What causes that?
I think the stems are weaker. I don't know.
Yeah. And so on these new oak trees, you'll see them and all the branches. And I think maybe that they cut them. And then they just curve down or that the branches, I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know.
And as far as the crepe myrtles go, there's all different kind of thoughts on this. And a lot of my communities keep asking. And it gets down to what the client wants. You know, Ed Gilmer, one of the top tree specialists in the world, I think. And he said he used to prune them back, some of his back also.
Felder Rushing and Dr. Gary Bachman, they have no problem with it. They're a little bit more easygoing than I am, though.
I don't want to prune them back.
I think they look ugly. I mean, we don't do it to elm trees. We don't do it to sycamore trees. And we don't even do it to redbuds and dogwoods. We don't do that. And so,
I've seen a couple of magnolias where they've been topped out and rounded out. They didn't look too bad.
Well, now there is pollarding is a different type of pruning where
you cut the same spot all the time.
Disney does a lot.
Oh yeah,
they do it in their theaters. Yeah, in their theater, American theater, they pollard their trees there. But that's just different. But if you're cutting down to the quick and it's a thin tree, you could kill them.
Yeah, I haven't seen any crepe myrtles killed to that. It just seemed to be...
Oh, I have to send you pictures.
Have you? Okay. Resilient, I think. Like I said, Ed Gilman didn't feel bad about it.
But don't you think it delays the flowering?
Here's what it does as I observe it. It you get that big flush of growth after you prune them back hard like that. And those flower all together. You get this big plume of flowers. But if you don't prune them, you get flowers all over the tree. They have a nice natural form. I don't prune mine. I like the nice natural form. Now, I will take off the lower hanging limbs.
Yes.
I'll take off the ones that crisscross.
I take off the suckers.
From the base. But it gets to be, what does the client want? And I've had communities where they want them pruned back hard. So I said, it's up to you guys. You're paying for it where you wouldn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, I've had landscapers tell me that if their clients ask them to prune, that if they won't do it, they're going to hire someone that will do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I understand that they're caught between, the rock.
It's almost like the palms.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's some communities that are going to do the rocket cut no matter what.
Yeah, and you don't need to cut fronds. In fact, you shouldn't cut a palm frond off if it's green.
That's right. That's right.
And it just makes them, more susceptible to diseases and insects.
Yeah.
And even in the hurricane, those fronds protect the tree. And if it doesn't have it, they'll snap easier.
Yeah. And you didn't see many palms blow over, did you?
No.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
It's amazing. Here's some of the other things on my list. Getting the weeds out after the start of the year into the new year. preparing the soil for replanting, go through, till it. If you're going to get your compost of manure and put in there, work it in, any kind of compost. Add new plants. Not a bad time. I mean, you plant year-round, don't you?
I do plant year-round. Now, if it's something that's coming up, because we watch the weather, if it's something that we're going to have a freeze in the next week or so, you know, we see that cold front coming down, we may delay planting a couple of days. But no, we can plant here all year round.
Yeah, we haven't done your dirty words.
Oh, my dirty words. Yes, we do. We'll do that in the next segment.
Okay, sounds good. Got a whole list of them there. And thinking outside the box, are you planting Cattleya orchids in dirt?
I'm telling you, Tom, I was shocked that this Cattleya orchid had been growing in the ground for 5 years, and it was gorgeous. It had almost 30 blooms on it. It loved it. It didn't have a problem with it at all.
Yeah, I put the jewelbox orchids in soil.
I'm telling you, I was so shocked. And it's what I want people to do is not think outside the box. And so we're coming up on a hard break here. So we're going to continue this conversation, but this is a pre-recorded show. But we want to wish everyone a happy new year.
We certainly do. And we have the dirty words coming up here, and we'll have some other things that we'll want to talk about. But one little thing here I also see on yours, you're learning to appreciate weeds.
I am.
When I went to
Ireland, the weeds were so beautiful. And we just need to chill a little bit. I got to chill about crepe murder. Okay, yes, I'll do that. But going and seeing the weeds, the native weeds, it was beautiful.
Wildflowers. We call them wildflowers.
They were weeds. We're going to be right back, Tom.
Yeah, we'll be back. We're coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Tom. Teresa's at the other microphone. Of course, your regular host. And if it's Saturday morning, hey, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. You know, we're so happy to have you here with Better Lawns and Gardens this morning. This is our New Year's special program. No calls today, of course, but we're just having fun talking about some of the things I think Teresa and I like, and Lizzie likes the most, the things we like to do.
We do. We just love to just talk about gardening. And
one of the things you like to do is the dirty words.
I do. My dirty word.
You got one of my favorites on there.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to hear what it is. I love the dirty words of the day because they're words we don't normally hear, or that you may not know what we're talking about. And I had some of them that we used this year, and I'll post them all on our Facebook page that you can look them up, is chitting. Chitting is a great dirty word of the day. And rabbit eye, and then also the leaf peeping. I love the leaf peeping. And so it does sound kind of...
Okay, now the leaf peeping, is that when we take the buses through New England up there and everybody's peeping out the bus?
That's okay.
Yeah, the leaf peeper's going through. Yes, okay.
There you go. And then also ubitori. And ubitori is a Japanese word that incorporates the different Japanese fruit trees, cherry, apricot, peach, and plum. And they put it to your kind of character. So they personalize it, they humanize it, but it's called ubitori. And it's I loved it. I thought it was wonderful that we don't necessarily compare cherries to peaches nor apricots to plums. So we shouldn't compare people. And each one of them is unique in their own way. And then pterodomania.
I like that word.
Yeah. Oh, I am a wonderful, I love pterodomania. And it is it's loving ferns. It's all about ferns and being excited about ferns and being just over the top with ferns.
You know, on one of our trips, we had a fern specialist with us from this area, and we were looking for the Tasmanian fern. Have you heard of that one?
I have.
Yeah,
it's a tree.
We saw it.
You're talking about the Tasmanian fern tree?
No, this is a small little fern.
A small fern? Okay.
Yeah, and one of the botanical gardens, and I think it was in Scotland, I think, had it.
Oh, okay.
And we went, and they let us go back and see it.
Oh, my goodness. Was it exciting?
It wasn't very exciting. It was just an old little creepy fern, as far as I could tell. But you know, it was new, you know, and so it was kind of neat to be able to get back there and see something like that. My favorite word on your dirty words here is manure.
Manure.
Yeah. Hey, I grew up with manure. What can I tell you? I used to bring it home in my pockets for my grandmother's roses.
Well,
Big chips.
I have to be honest with you. I love the smell of it. I love the smell of compost. I love the smell of manure.
Me too.
That earthy forest kind of smell where things are decomposing. Yeah, when you tell me where the bodies lay, I love going out there and finding them. So
I grew up on the farm, so manure and I are just very friendly. And there's people that have really trouble with it. And I give a talk and I tell people, I said, spread manure in the spring was great. You could open your windows and get that fragrance coming in at nighttime, almost as good as smelling alfalfa hay.
And so you know, I just think it's fun that you can use these words or know what someone's talking about, rose hips.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I have an ancestor in my family tree. Her name is Christine Rose Hip, H-I-P-P. And so I have rose hips in my family tree.
Wow.
So,
not everybody has that,
no.
I will tell you. Yeah. So, now, are you going to be able to keep coming up with more words all the time?
I'm trying to. And I think I will. I've got enough for 2025.
Do you really?
Yes. And so I like to go back and forth from words that are unusual or that are not that are used more scientifically, botanically. And then every once in a while, just put in some regular everyday words that somebody may not know.
Yeah.
Like frost or frost blanket or chilling
hours.
I like
the leaf peeping. I like that. I figure maybe you had the picture of a little frog on a leaf peeping out at you. We'll see that around here or some of these anoles or something like that.
And then it also sometimes it'll come up with the current situation like water logging. And so the plants being waterlogged, which came up during the storms. And so that. And then mast. Mast was also one for the fall. People don't have a knowledge of what mast is. And they'll hear it thrown about or talked about on the news or in a garden club setting. And so that's why Dirty Word of the Day is important.
It's a neat word. It's a neat idea. It's a neat concept. Hey, we've got something here. I see Lizzie's Garden, Gerald. Geraldine, what about that?
Tell us what happened to Gerald.
Well, Gerald is a turkey that I am raising along with his brothers and his girlfriend. And Gerald ended up surviving through Thanksgiving.
The petition worked.
Yes, yeah. A lot of listeners were fighting, but then it was almost equal amounts because it was hashtag spare Gerald, but then it was also hashtag Gerald tastes good with gravy.
That is great. Well, I'm glad Gerald survived.
Well,
yes.
Gerald's lucky because I'm not a real turkey fan, to be honest with you.
So you would
turkey meat is too dry for me.
See, I don't. When people say they've had dry turkey, I don't understand because I have never made a dry turkey in my entire life.
You and me, Lizzie. You and me.
I'm going to come to your house. I eat chicken. I mean, that's nice moist meat. And what I really like the most is duck.
Duck. Oh, I love duck.
Yeah.
We
had duck. Ham and turkey. We had a bunch of people over, good friends, and I figured my son and I, Peter and I, like duck.
Mm-hmm.
And so we figured we'll be the only ones that eat duck. Everybody that came over, about all 12 of them, wanted a piece of duck.
Wow. And, now, did you cook this yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so baked it. And nice and moist and tasty, mm-hmm. But Peter and I got almost no duck that year.
Oh, wow.
Well, I love duck too. Whenever it's on the menu, that's what I have because it's not something you normally have at home.
I know. 2 years ago, I was going to have duck and I went in the store to buy one and they were so expensive. I said, Peter, we're not having duck. Now, you have some favorite plants, right?
I do. So my favorite new plants this year or that I'm using more I've got four of them here, four or five. Carex Everillo is wonderful. It's nice for the borders. It's a grassy. It reminds me of a mix between liriope and Aztec grass. Mm-hmm. So it gets bigger than the normal Aztec grass, and it doesn't get it doesn't rot as easily as Aztec grass when it's overwatered. I love using it. Then also too, the Ficus triangularis is getting more and more popular. It is a regular ficus tree that is a smaller tree. but it has heart-shaped leaves.
Yeah, it's been around for a good while.
It has, but it's just now getting popular in the garden centers.
Now, the ones that you see have the heart-shaped leaves, but as I recall, the ones I remember were triangular leaf. And that's where the triangulars came from.
Right, no, but they're more heart-shaped leaves. The colors, these are variegated ones.
Okay.
And I'll have to show you. No, they're more heart-shaped leaves, but the color is green and yellow. One side is green, one side is yellow.
Okay.
And it looks gorgeous. And then Green Islands ficus is not used as much, and it should be. Down in Miami, you guys have it all the time down there, and it's just a great hedge plant. It doesn't get too tall. It's great for the shade, and it does a really nice job of growing and without any pest problems. So I like it. And then Lamandra.
Lamandra
grasses. You don't have to cut them back in the wintertime. They hold their color all year round. No pest problems and very drought tolerant.
And you can't get them.
Well, you got to ask for them. This is if you find a plant you like, you know, keep bugging the stores because they will bring them in. And as a landscape designer, sometimes I go to the far distant ends
of
the world.
Yeah, you go way out of the world to get them.
To get them, but they're not in your regular stores. But if you ask for them and get them, they will bring them. They just keep bringing in the same old cookie cutter stuff.
Yeah, what people know the most.
Yeah, and then they just plant them, and they just everybody's yard looks the same.
You skipped over Ficus macrocarpa here.
Well, that's the scientific name for the Green Island ficus.
Green Island ficus.
The microcarpa.
Okay, so I have that one. I have a big plant of that. It actually started off in a little dish garden. And that thing's a monster now.
I was telling that to somebody the other day. They have a ponytail, and they said, where can I plant this tree? And they were going to plant it by the front door. And I said, please don't plant it by the front door.
Have you ever seen a ponytail push out a wall?
Yes.
Yeah, I have too.
Brick walls?
Yeah.
Yes.
People plant it right next to the wall.
One of the largest ones I ever saw was at the landscape show, and they brought in one from Miami at the convention center. And it was as big as a Volkswagen on the back of a semi.
Wow.
A flatbed semi, they brought it in, and the base of it was almost as big as a semi. It was incredible.
I have a big one. I have a big one.
But not close to the house.
No. Close to a walkway, though.
Well, can we say that everybody's New Year's resolution, all of our listeners should be, is to find out how big a plant or tree is going to be and actually follow the rule of planting them away from fencing,
nice.
Electrical wires.
That's my mantra. Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you don't plan to live there that long.
That's not your problem.
That's right. Well, that's what communities do. I mean, the sidewalk, the tree between the road and the sidewalk, you plant them there and... The person that planted them is long gone.
Exactly right. They're not having to deal with the repercussions and the situation later on.
Yeah. Let me give you some of my garden old favorites from the vegetable garden here. Tomatoes. I really believe, I'm not sure the new varieties are always great, to be honest with you. I go back to some of the old ones like Early Girl, Celebrity, Champion. They're just nice slicing tomatoes, reliable tomatoes. Mm-hmm. I know you tried a lot of different varieties.
I do try different varieties, but we do. Tony loves a great tomato and mayonnaise sandwich, and so he likes the ones, the Celebrity, Big Boy, Better Boy. They're all his favorites.
Cherry Prince's Sweetie, which is a small one. Sweet Million, I don't think you can go wrong with Sweet Million.
No, we love Sweet Million. We grow it every year.
And Sweet Treats. Sweet Treats, I do buy. The seeds are about 60 cents a piece, one seed.
Wow.
Yeah, so I grow that.
Do you get it?
Good from the catalog, seed catalogs.
Oh, which one?
Season Such.
Season Such.
And I think Tomato Grower Supply has it also.
Got it.
But I probably shouldn't, but I have a friend of mine who gets transplants for me, and so I will
supply
it to
him. It's good to know people.
Peppers, Better Bell. Top Pepper, Better Bell, if you want that. That was a Florida variety, Better Bell. King Arthur, Touchdown, Aristotle. Cucumber, Sweet Slice, and Muncher. It's another one. We don't like the bitter cucumbers, so we get the one without the bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Broccoli, Lieutenant, and Gypsy.
There you go.
Those are two ones I like there. So I have my favorites, and I just don't always think the new varieties coming out. I always wonder, have you ever wondered how long some of these new varieties stay on the market, trees, shrubs included?
Right. I would say probably 20 years, a generation.
I think some of the new ones are probably a couple of years. And anyway, we'll settle that later on. How about that? We're coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. And if it's Saturday morning, you know this is a great time. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm here with Tom McCubbin and Lizzie Steele. And we want to wish you a happy new year. This is a pre-recorded show, so we're not going to have any calls. But we have this segment, and we're calling it The Apple Doesn't Fall Far from the Tree. And this is just a year where coincidences have just been phenomenal. And I have worked with you, Tom, since 1999.
At least.
The year 2000 is when we started the...
But I knew you well before then.
Yeah. And so we've worked together a long time. I've always enjoyed working with you. We've always had a great time working together. And so as one of my hobbies, and I'm very passionate about it, is that at the end of the night, I like to go through and just work on something that's not plant related. Sort of. It is trees, but it's not plant related. And so I do my genealogy. I am fascinated by genealogy. We have found a first cousin that we didn't know existed, which was fascinating. Found out that my seventh great grandmother is Sarah Cassandra Boone, who is Daniel Boone's sister.
Wow.
So how did that get lost in the family, you know, chats around the fire? And so I'm related to Daniel Boone, and we have some Mayflower. I mean, just a lot of great genealogy. But then one night I was working on the my tree of my mom's side, my mother's from Scotland, Benbecula and Oban. She was born in Paisley. The Hebrides is where her family's from. And I come across the name McAlpin, McAlpin. And so I'm going through and working down that line, and it's John McAlpin, because father and son, and, you know, goes down the list. And then all of a sudden it switches, McAlpin, McCubbin. Now this is like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I am freaking out. I'm going, no. And so I'm working it, and Tom, I kept working it, and honest to engine, goodness, we are related.
How about that?
We are eighth cousins, two times removed. So Sir John the Colonist, the fourth, immigrated to America, to Maryland. And where are you from, Tom?
Yeah, Maryland. Yeah.
And so
my family was around Baltimore.
Yes.
And then they moved over to the Eastern Shores, or where they stand.
And there's books on your family. There's books on it. And so I'm going through and I am just freaking out. And then all of a sudden I'm thinking, what if Tom doesn't want me to be his cousin? So I sent you an email. I'm going, I think we're kind of related.
Yeah.
And
eighth cousin, twice removed.
Twice removed.
Now, what does the twice removed mean?
Okay, so when you have, so your children, your are, and their cousins are first cousins. Now, second cousins would be their children.
Okay.
Okay, but first cousins once removed is their children. Something like that.
Okay.
Okay, and then two times removed is two generations off the first cousin.
Okay.
Okay, so that's how it goes. And so it's very interesting. But anyway, I found all the ones. And what's neat with the ancestry is that you can put it in, and then you put somebody else in, and then it changes everything. It recalculates, and then it comes up with your relationship.
Wow.
And ours, it recalculated everything to be eighth cousins, two times removed.
Well,
so we're related.
Well, around Baltimore, there's a considerable number of McCubbins, as I understand. And my uncle used to tell me that we're all related, they just don't know it.
Yeah, exactly. And again, that's the thing. I mean, so there's probably, you know, you could have tens of thousands, 30,000, 40,000 relations underneath. When you go back that far, people had a lot of children back then, and they all had a lot of children, and the multiplication works. And but I just thought that was I'm very proud.
I'm proud too, yes.
And
we both have the gardening spirit here.
It is, and we come from a line of gardeners.
Yeah.
I mean, farmers. We were all farmers back then.
Farmers.
Even on my dad's side of the family, we're all farmers in North Carolina. And so it's just...
I've got the old family Bible, and it only goes back into the late 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the names John McCubbin in there. And,
then Joynes is a very big family name of yours.
Yep. Yeah, it is. That's right. And the last name of my aunts and people like that.
Well, I'm fascinated with it. I mean, there's so much. My dad's side of the family was Quaker, and Quakers were very good about keeping records. And in fact, Daniel Boone's family was Quaker. Squire Boone's family was Quaker, and that's how they got down to North Carolina, but from Philadelphia. But the Quakers have books and records of their meetings going back to the 17th century.
Wow!
And that's and they have them all logged, and you can look them up, and just takes a little bit of patience.
Yeah. Have you ever found a relative that didn't know you existed and got in contact with them? And
yes, well, that's how we found our first cousin. So I had a second cousin that contacted me and said, "Do you know there's somebody on Ancestry that says your grandfather's her grandfather?" And so I'm going, "No, I know all my cousins. No, there's not." And by goodness, she was related. She is a first cousin. She was given up for adoption. And my 80-year-old aunt and my dad, who was in his 80s, had no knowledge of her at all. And she's our first cousin. And she's beautiful. And she lives in California. And we're so proud to have her in the family.
You know, for everybody listening, if you're interested in genealogy and you have family members who are still alive and aged, get with them and find out what they know.
They do.
What people did, what they, you know, who their relatives were, things like that. Because I missed an opportunity a long time ago.
Yeah, and I agree. And that was one of the things. And I will tell you, the DNA is just a big part of it. So I'm very glad to have you in my family.
Well,
I'm
thank
very
you.
Proud.
Eighth cousin.
Eighth cousin's two times removed.
I don't know.
There's no blood there. But I have to tell you more. So I'm going to give you all the dirt when we get off
well,
the
I
air.
I appreciate all this is what you've done for me because you've sent me an awful lot of information and encouraging me to go on.
Yeah, it's fascinating. But they do have the records there.
I can't get up at nighttime like you are, or at two in the morning searching down family
members. I'm a night owl, especially if I'm a dog when I'm looking for something. I just keep on going. We'll be back. We've got another whole segment left. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins with Tom McCubbin and Lizzie Steele, and we're going to be right back. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
And welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Hard to believe this is our last segment.
Well,
the show's
we've had
going
a great
fast.
Time.
We've been laughing all through this. I'll tell you, it's been
I've
a fun program.
It. We want to wish everyone a happy New Year.
My eighth cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and if you want to know what he's talking about, you can go back to betterlawns.com and you can listen to the podcast there because believe it or not, the two of them are related.
Yeah, kind of neat actually. Yeah, I can't wait until she invites me over for supper. But maybe we'll have turkey.
I'll provide it. You'll invite me.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Now we're talking now about garden plans for
2025.
Yeah.
Yes. It's 20. I
know.
Up.
This we're doing this in 2024, but we're moving over to 2025.
Yes.
There we go. And well, why don't you start it off here?
Okay. So my plans for 2025 is to have less work in the yard. So I am removing more and more of the plants and putting in larger perennials, larger shrubs. And I'm just going to take it and redo my whole backyard.
I thought maybe you were going to pave it or something.
No.
Concrete it over.
No. But I'm redoing my whole backyard.
Yeah.
So
I need to do a lot of that.
Yeah. I've been there 20 years, and Tony's been there for even longer than that. And so it's time, you know, time to move the furniture around.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing something similar to that. I have a wet area that I need to renovate. It had a rubber liner in it and everything. And, you know, we had bears come into the backyard. We still have bears coming through the backyard. And I think they went in there and punctured the rubber liner.
Oh, you know, I bet they did.
Yeah. And so they went for a swim. So I got to do something that it was a pond. I'm likely to reduce it. I'm going to maybe add some bulbs and perennials. And I'm just tired of maintaining the pond.
Is it a naturally wet area there?
No, I had to create it.
I had to create it.
With a rubber liner. Uh-huh. And the rubber liner, I have to admit, was been there for probably 25 years or so. And it's about time for me to do something different.
Well, bulbs will be nice.
I think bulbs. I'm trying to figure out what I want, a smaller pond maybe. And I'm thinking about getting one of these big watering troughs mm-hmm. that they use for animals and sinking that. And maybe putting that in, see about it. The next thing on my list here for 2025, better weed control. It's like you. You're using more mulch. I need to use more mulch and keep the weeds down. But it's kind of hard to do that in a vegetable garden, but I could. A little better than that. And the other thing, lots of repotting.
That's a big one, too. You know, plants can stay in a pot for years, and you kind of think, that it's not doing so well anymore. And it's probably because there's no soil in it anymore.
Yeah, and they've just filled the pots up, and the pots are starting to break down. And I think I'm going to get rid of some.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you getting rid of? Let me know, and I'll drive by and pick it up.
I know. That's some of these things you wouldn't want anyway, so I don't know. So, Lizzie, how about you? Garden plans for 2025?
Yes, I'm going to rebuild my beds, and I'm really going to probably focus on my bell peppers this year. And also, I'm wanting to have three turkey run areas, and that's like the area where the turkeys are able to go out and hang out during the day and be free, but with fencing. And I want to plant around the outside of that, something that they like to nibble on. So when I do let them out into the field yard area, they can go back, and it kind of entices them to come back.
These are lucky turkeys. You know
they are. I'm just telling you.
I'm going to bet you they'll be here next year.
It's a good possibility.
Turkey collection.
Yeah. Now, with the bell peppers, yes. Better Bell, that's the name. It was developed by the University of Florida, I'm pretty sure,
okay.
Research Center. And it's a great pepper. It has lots of resistance. One thing I forgot to mention when I was talking about the varieties I select is they all have some degree of resistance to pests. And that's what's important to me. The tomatoes and the peppers and the cucumbers, downy mildew.
That's important, and people can find that information out on the back, usually, of the seed packets they're buying, or they can look up a University of Florida publication, and it'll tell you which ones to buy that are pest-free.
Yeah, or you can go to the catalogs.
The catalogs.
Like Tomato Grower Supply, they'll list all resistance that you have in there. And mm-hmm. Nematode resistance is kind of important, although nematode resistance is quite variable, so it can be a problem there sometimes.
That's it. So, but you can find that information out, or they can just call Better Lawns and Gardens, and we'll tell them.
You'll tell them. Yeah. You'll tell them where to go. That's the nice thing about it. Yeah. So what are you going to do for this low maintenance? Because maybe I need to use some of this here.
Well, you know, you want to put in plants that you don't have to prune a lot. You know, high maintenance is where you put in too many plants, and they're not allowed to get as to their mature size, so you have to keep cutting them. So I've spaced them out so that they grow to the size that they want to be, and then you don't have any maintenance.
Yeah, like what?
Like buddleias. You want to put in buddleias. And then also I love drift roses, and drift roses get to be 2 feet wide. They bloom all year round. They're very easy to maintain. You don't have to deadhead them. And they're not as susceptible to disease issues as the hybrid roses.
Do you have a particular buddleia that you're growing, if you like?
I like the Low and Behold.
Okay, and now is that long-lived?
Yes, it is, and it's not as tall. And so it's a short shrub. It gets to be 3 to 4 feet tall, and I keep mine around 3 feet.
Yeah. Didn't you have a lavender you were working with for a while?
I was, and I do still use it. I don't have any in my yard, but there is a lavender, and the name of it is, it begins with a P, and I can't remember it, but I'll tell everybody.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But what was the name of it? Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. That's right.
Phenomenal lavender. And it takes the heat of Florida, and it does really well. Now, it's not something that, you know, and when you look at these documentaries or go on garden tours and you see the fields of lavender growing, which they grow for decades, that's not Florida. We have too much humidity here. But the Phenomenal seems to handle the humidity better. So I would say if I get, 5 years, 3 to 5 years out of a lavender,
I'd say you're doing well.
That's great.
Yeah.
So I'm really pretty. And it's the same with roses. Roses, too, don't last here a long time because of the nematodes, because of the humidity. And, they're not going to last like 400-year-old roses in France.
Yeah. So how about hydrangeas? Are you interested in hydrangeas?
I just am planting a hydrangeas just this last week, and I love the oak leaf hydrangea, which is native.
Yeah, I've got that.
Native, and it turns a beautiful red in the fall.
Yep.
And then we do use the French hydrangeas too. You just got to make sure they get moisture and they get sun.
Do you keep them in containers?
No, I plant ours in the ground. But again, it's something that the moisture is the most important thing, that they just can't go a couple of weeks if the temperatures are in the 90s. And so, again, they're not long-lived. So if I get 2 to 3 years out of them, they're good. But I have clients that that I planted 7, 8 years ago that still have their hydrangeas.
Well.
They're not as blue as they want them, but they're more of a pinkish lavender.
Is that because they haven't adjusted the soil pH?
No, they have. It's still tough. It's still tough. So you really need to have really acidic soil to have the blue.
Yeah. I really like the oak leaf.
Oak leaf is perfect. It's just great. And it gets huge. I've seen them here in Central Florida. Mine I keep around 3 feet tall. But I have seen them as tall as 6 feet tall.
Yeah. Now, do you have any in containers that you have to protect for cold?
No, hydrangeas. No, they go.
I mean any plants.
No, I don't have any plants that I keep for cold.
Yeah.
You know, even my tropical crotons do well, but I have them tucked in a corner where they kind of like in their own little microclimate.
Yeah, I have a number of crotons, and what I'll do if things get cold, I have them in containers. And I'll lay them down.
Yeah.
I can put covers over top of them.
Yeah. And, you know, if you don't use a frost blanket, if you do use sheets or boxes, they should take them off every day so they get some sunlight, you know, so.
Yeah.
But low maintenance is all about it.
I'm tired of heating plants. I have a shade house and I can heat it, but what I'll do is just put the plants on the ground, put covers over top of them. Make sure they're nice and moist to start off with. They normally make it through, even the orchids.
Yeah,
okay, like
even the orchids, you know, that because the climate is that a little bit of chill doesn't affect them. It's just how long it stays cold. And especially, and you want to make sure you're not over-fertilizing or over-watering. Both of those can make them more susceptible to the freezes.
Yep, that's very good. I'm looking forward to my gardening year in 2025. Planning the garden, getting
well. I hope you will come on more.
And, I'd be happy to.
And you can cover for me when I'm taking my Art and Bloom garden tours.
I enjoy doing that. Lizzie and I have a good time when you're gone.
Yes.
We won't tell you about it.
That'd be wonderful. And Lizzie's going to get more turkeys. And
yes.
So like that. We'd like to thank our sponsors. We're so grateful. We have wonderful sponsors that have quality products like Black Cow, Summit Responsible Solutions. And then also Quality Green Specialists. Dana has wonderful trees and shrubs there. Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland, Howie and Karen. That's wonderful. We do appreciate them. Please let them know you listen to Better Lawns and Gardens and you thank them for it. Tom, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. This has been a great program. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Learned a lot about my eighth cousin. Eighth cousin. Twice, two times removed.
There you go. Well, I will leave on my own. All right, Lizzie, thank you so much. Happy New Year to you, hon.
Happy New Year to all of our listeners.
Yes.
We appreciate you. For without you, you know, we wouldn't be doing this.
There you go. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.